Building on the Solid Rock with Pastor Troy Neely of Calvary Chapel's Solid Rock.
Let every family find faith in the Father's love. This is where it begins. This is our cry, this is our song, Jesus the way. We find our life in Him.
That's the choice that we all have. When God is speaking to our hearts, when we read His Word, when He says certain things to us, He brings them up, He puts His finger on something. The rest of the world may say one thing, but God is speaking something else. The Lord will have us do things that are strange to the world. Strange to the world, like singing in church, or not doing certain things that we used to have fun doing. Say, why are you doing that? There's nothing wrong with it. Lots of Christians do it, and it may be true, but for whatever reason, God has put His finger on that. The question is, will you believe me? Will you trust me? Will you know that I have a plan and a purpose for all this?
As a follower of Jesus, you'll often feel like you're swimming upstream. In today's message from Pastor Troy, he encourages you to lean into and believe what God is speaking to your heart. There will be things that God will place on your heart to do or not do, and you have to trust what He says. Pastor Troy teaches you to listen and to obey the voice of God. Not everyone will have the same convictions as you, but it's important that you follow the Lord. Don't listen to the world, be obedient to God. Now, here's Pastor Troy in the book of Hebrews chapter 11 with today's edition of Building on the Solid Rock.
When the Lord is the one leading us, when the Lord is the one leading the charge, says, I'm going to do this, it makes all the difference in the world. We have no reason to fear. You remember Gideon? Gideon was afraid. God called him, said, look, I'm going to do some great things through you. We're going to go fight a battle. He said, oh man, who am I? I can't lead the people. Well, finally, he was convinced to do so, but God kept telling him, no, whittle it down. No, you need even less people. And there was a fear. Even Gideon kept throwing fleeces. Lord, if this is you, this doesn't look good. Look, I've been doing this the whole time. What do you mean? Is it me if it's you? And listen to what God had said in Judges chapter 6, verses 13 through 16. Gideon said to him, oh, my Lord, if the Lord is with us, speaking of Israel, then why has all this happened to us? And where are all His miracles which our fathers told us about, saying, did not the Lord bring us up from Egypt? But now the Lord has forsaken us and delivered us into the hands of the Midianites, because this is the time where God steps in and calls them, says, I'm with you. If you're with us, why is all this happening? Then the Lord turned to him and said, go in this might of yours, and you shall save Israel from the hand of the Midianites. Have I not sent you? So he said to him, oh, my Lord, how can I save Israel? Indeed, my clan is the weakest in Manasseh, and I am the least in my father's house. The Lord said to him, surely I will be with you, and you shall defeat the Midianites as one man. Though they are great in number, you're going to defeat them as easy as if it were one man. Notice, he said, you go fight, you go represent, you go trust me, but I will be with you. How's the battle going to be won? I am with you. That's how. You're not taking this upon yourself. You're not saying, I'm going to do this. I'm going to be with you. And that makes all the difference. When God is going to be with us, when God is leading us in something, we don't have to fear. Oh, bad things will happen. I mean, people will criticize. People will say things to try to put you down or discourage you. When I was getting out of the military, I had lots of that. But you have no reason to fear, because though none go with you, God is with you. And that's all you need. You, actually not even you, anything plus one, zero plus God is the majority. God wins every single time. So the reason Moses feared the first time was because he tried to control things. He tried to do things his own way, in his own strength, with his own emotions, all of that. He tried to do something. He killed the Egyptian. But he found out that in his own strength, he couldn't deliver even one. It didn't work. In fact, the Israelites didn't even receive him because he tried to lead them. And they said to him, "Who made you
boss over us?
Who put you in authority, huh? You going to kill one of us like you killed the Egyptian?" That's what scared him. He took off. So his way did not work. Have you ever tried to do something your way? In your strength, by your emotion, by what you think and what you want, only to find that you messed things up? Maybe you didn't have full understanding. Maybe you weren't as mature as you thought, and the counsel was the Lord. Or we often seem to think we know more than we actually do. But you try to do something in your own way, your own strength, your own understanding, only to find out things get messed up. Listen, God's battles are not won in the pride of human strength. They're not won because you have ability, knowledge. We don't impress God. There's nothing we can do to impress him. You want to try to teach him the scriptures? I don't. God doesn't applaud the type A personality who moves everyone out of the way and gets it done. I'm going to get it done. Because sometimes he's trying to let everyone patiently wait. He wants to use weaker vessels who will get it done in a much slower time, slower pace, but they will be transformed by it. And so as that get her done, get out of the way kind of person, you can often trump or trample on things that God wants to do. And in your life, it would be no wonder that there's no need of the Holy Spirit. You're not waiting on anyone. You're not depending on anyone. You're just doing it. And if the Lord were to leave you, you wouldn't notice any difference. God told Zechariah, "Not by might, not by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord. I'm going to send you back. The temple's going to be rebuilt, but you're not going to do it. You're going to do it physically, but it's not going to be in your ability, your strength, your numbers, your intelligence, your engineering. It's going to be by my spirit. I'm going to do this. If you listen to me, you will accomplish everything I want." Perhaps that's why God uses the foolish things of the world. Missionary Hudson Taylor said, "God uses men who are weak and feeble enough to lean on him. I don't understand this, Lord. It doesn't make sense to me, but I'm going to trust you. I'm going to trust in you instead of me, your ways instead of mine." God uses men and women like that. What Moses had to learn was that God's tasks require a lot more than our ability. What God asks us to do and what God wants to do through us requires more than the ability we have, more than the knowledge and understanding that we have, so much more. The plans of his are so much bigger than we could ever comprehend. But because we try to comprehend and we try to make our own decisions based upon what we comprehend, we limit God. God wanted to do something really big through Moses. And it would require not just Moses' ability, although Moses had great ability. This would require more than Moses' ability could handle. It required God's intervention. God was going to do something, divine intervention. When the Lord is with you, there's nothing you can't do. Joshua found that out. As they were going into the land, facing their first big foe, who we'll talk about next week, Jericho, there was a sense of what can we expect? And he sees this mighty warrior. He found out it was the angel of the Lord. The angel of the Lord wasn't on Joshua's side. He was on the Lord's side. Because Joshua asked, "Whose side are you on, ours or theirs?" Excuse me, Joshua, are those the only two sides? Because I think I'm on the right side, God's side. I'm on the Lord's side. And what gave Joshua comfort was knowing that he was on the Lord's side too, knowing that God was with him, and then seeing this massive being, oh man, this is going to be good. If you're on the Lord's side and we're on the Lord's side, yay for us. So Moses had to learn that what God wants to do requires much more than you're able to do. And when the Lord is with you, You can do everything. We can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. Sometimes that means waiting, being patient, and waiting on the Lord to do something or do certain things or to line up certain things. Waiting can be one of the most difficult things in life. Look at what Isaiah said. It's Isaiah 40:31. But those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint, because they're prepared. They're ready and rested, by the way. There are times we need to rest. When God provides rest, we need to take it instead of cramming those extra things we wanted to accomplish into our schedule, into our time, and later on blaming God or something for not giving us rest. He's given it to us. He knows what we need, and he gives us what we need. So Moses didn't fear the king because he understood that the invisible God was with him. Verse 28, by faith he kept the Passover and the sprinkling of blood, lest he who destroyed the firstborn should touch them. Another thing is faith develops godly fear. It helps us to avoid unnecessary fear and overcome unnecessary fear, but it develops in us right fear, godly fear. It's referring to the last plague that happened in Egypt, the death of the firstborn. God told Moses, kill a lamb. I'm going to come through and I'm going to kill all the firstborn. But those who do what I say, you kill the lamb, you guys will eat the lamb, but smear some of the blood on the doorposts and lintels of your homes. Wherever that blood is found, I will pass over that home. They will not experience death. None of the judgment will fall upon that home. But for everyone who doesn't, and when he said everyone, he meant Jew and Gentile, Jew and Egyptian, anyone who doesn't, they will experience this. Now, the advantage at this time of being a Jew was you had the inside information. You heard. And so they did by faith, put the blood over there. And it took faith to do this because scientifically, it doesn't make any sense, right? Reasonably. Okay, firstborn are going to die tonight in every home. Smear a little blood and it won't happen to that home. I don't get that. It doesn't make sense. I can't connect the dots. How does that happen? It took faith for them to follow this.
Pastor Troy will return soon with the second part of today's message, so be sure to stay tuned. If you'd like to listen to more teachings from Building on the Solid Rock, we invite you to visit our website, buildingonthesolidrock.com. Pastor Troy has been teaching verse by verse through the Bible for a while. You can listen online to our archive of these messages. You can also download each teaching to listen to later or share with your friends and family. You can even subscribe to the Building on the Solid Rock podcast through iTunes. That way you'll never miss a teaching and you'll be notified as soon as we make these messages available. Find a link to subscribe when you visit buildingonthesolidrock.com. Now, here's Pastor Troy with the continuation of today's message. Building on the solid
rock. It seems foolish if you do think about it from a scientific standpoint, right? Smear blood on something, don't die. I don't think I'm going to do that because it doesn't make sense. But that night, they had to make a decision. Do they believe what God said or not? You know, that's the choice that we all have. When God is speaking to our hearts, when we read his word, when he says certain things to us, he brings them up, he puts his finger on something. The rest of the world may say one thing, but God is speaking something else. The Lord will have us do things that are strange to the world. Strange to the world, like singing at church. Or not doing certain things that we used to have fun doing. I say, why are you doing that? There's nothing wrong with it. Lots of Christians do it. And it may be true, but for whatever reason, God has put his finger on that. The question is, will you believe me? Will you trust me? Will you know that I have a plan and a purpose for all this? If for no other reason to take you up that mountain like Abraham to say, sacrifice this because I want to know where your heart is, or I want you to know where your heart is. Why is it so hard to do certain things? God puts his finger on something and you think it's simple. That's a simple thing. Why can't I do it then? It's simple, but I can't do it. I won't do it. Why is that? It's a good question. but one I can't answer, one that you have to answer by giving it up, by letting God challenge you in that area. I love it when God's challenging us. I hate it and I love it. You know what I mean? It's like, oh man, I don't like the challenge. I like that you're challenging me, but I don't want to do that. And yet he's always doing it. But that night they had to make a decision. Would they believe him? That's the difference in a believer and an unbeliever, you know? They believe the word of God. They take it seriously. They adjust their lives because of it. A believer. Unbelievers today consider it foolish or unscientific that the death of a man 2,000 years ago could actually save them from some judgment to come. What? Apply that blood? That makes no sense. I don't get it. There's no scientific evidence. But a Christian believes it. And so we apply the blood to our lives. We grow in Christ to become more like him. Godly fear has been referred to as the missing ingredient in the church today. It's one of the reasons there is no power in the church today. Though we have massive churches, there's no power in those churches. I mean, 12 men changed the world. We can't get a 12,000 church to change the world. Godly fear has been referred to as the missing ingredient. A healthy fear of what God has said, I want to respond. I want to do, and even if it doesn't make sense to me, I want to live the way God has asked me to live for whatever reason, whatever purposes. Years ago, the Gulf War produced a lot of churchgoers, but it didn't produce a lot of God-fearers. They went to church because they feared for themselves. What does this mean for me? What's going to happen to me? What's prophecy say? Let me go find out. It produced some churchgoers, churches swole in size, but it didn't produce God-fearers. We know that because as soon as the war was over, church attendance went back down. It was like people said, oh, whew, I can go back to living my life now. Things are normal again. Hey, some of us were brought to church because of fears. Children started to rebel. Oh, we need to go to church. They need the church. They need the Lord. No, what they need are parents who have the Lord, but God will use whatever he needs to get us in church. Something causes a fear. And sometimes, very often, people will then consider the Lord. But God doesn't want a bunch of people who every time they're afraid run to him. Hope things are okay. Good between us? Okay, good. I felt good in worship that day, so now I'm good for another year. Contrast the heart that just comes whenever they feel like things are going bad enough to go to church. And then when things are going okay, they just take off to this heart. 2 Corinthians 7:1. Therefore, having these promises, beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. An onward and upward work. Is that ever done? Never. Not until we're with him. Godly fear requires two ingredients. Believing in God first. You have to believe in him. And then knowing his word. Otherwise, you don't know how to fear. I love God, and he can crush me anytime he wants. But I don't know what that means. I'm a nice guy. I'm a nice person. And yeah, I take advantage of people and lie to them and stuff. But, you know, I'm doing it to protect myself. God surely understands that. Really? You don't know God. Because he sees that as someone who doesn't trust him. You're taking care of you and doing everything wrong in order to do it. And he says, do things right and trust me to take care of you instead. Is that what it says? Yeah, if you read your Bible, you would know that. So godly fear requires that we believe in him and that we know his word. The Israelites knew his word. Moses told them, get in the homes, spread the blood, eat the lamb, enjoy the lamb. Partake of the lamb. That was the word. Now they had to apply it. Would they believe? And they did. Faith causes us to seek the Lord because we know we need to. It causes us to know his word and it causes us to respond. Those are the dynamics of faith in a life. It's been said, saying that you're a swordsman does not make you a swordsman. Saying you're a good swordsman does not make you a good swordsman. In the same way, saying you're a believer does not make you a believer. saying you're a mature believer does not make you a mature believer. It's all in the activity. The proof, as they say, is in the pudding. Speaking of activity, look at verse 29. By faith, they passed through the Red Sea as dry land, whereas the Egyptians attempting to do so were drowned. So the last thing we'll talk about is faith calms others' fear. It influences others. It impacts others. Some have a hard time believing this portion of the scriptures, that the Red Sea parted. I just can't believe that. But let me tell you, I have no problem with it, because if you do believe in God and you do believe he's the one who created all things from nothing, which is a pretty significant task, then to create everything from nothing, what is it a big deal to part some little tiny waters that you created? I mean, I can do that. Give me a little time and I can build a little dam in our bathtub and cause that to happen by my own might. I'm not God, but it's something I can kind of control. Now, if God can create from nothing and not even build, he didn't have to build it. He didn't have to turn on the bathtub and run it for a while, check the temperature, anything like that. He spoke it. It was perfect. And if he can do that, can't he say, part waters? And then after this group goes through, close up waters. Can he do that? Can he do those things? So it's not hard for me to believe. Of course, I've heard some try to explain this away by saying, okay, this was actually, if you look in the Greek and you do this, and there was a misspelling and a typo, and it's actually the Reed Sea, which is in the area. And the Reed Sea has a section there that's only 18 inches deep. And at 18 inches deep, certainly you can cross. Now, a couple problems. One, it says, as on dry land. 18 inches isn't dry land to me. But two, I think you have just as significant a miracle, because that would mean that the Egyptian army drowned in 18 inches of water. That wasn't even parted. It was just sitting there like the first group travels and the rest is like, oh, like, that's a miracle, Lord. Kind of funny too. Kind of fun to watch. Oh, how the Lord, it would have been a totally different song rather than how you parted the seas. How they looked so weird when they were sitting there, their bald heads just kind of drowning in 18 inches of water. Lord, how funny you are. It would have been a totally different song. So you have a miracle either way. God does great things. You know, when we trust the Lord, then we see those amazing things. If we don't trust him, we don't need the amazing things. So many of us are grabbing this bull by the horns, which is good. You want to be proactive. You want to do. But we grab it so firmly that we control the whole bull. And we see no miracles, no great things. The only time we do see them is when God finally backs us into a corner where there's nothing we can do. But he doesn't want it to be that way, where the only time I see anything and the only time God gets to move is he's backed us into a corner. Now, that's what happens here for Israel. They get backed into a corner. They panicked. There was nothing they could do. But God uses Moses to calm their fears. In Exodus 14, verses 13 and 14, Moses says, Moses said to the people, "Do not be afraid. Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will accomplish for you today. For the Egyptians whom you see today, you shall see again no more. The Lord will fight for you, and you shall hold your peace." Moses said that. People who are confident in the Lord, they have a way of inspiring confidence in others. Confidence in the Lord. Put their mind back on the Lord.
Faith is something that sounds easier than it realistically is. As we've continued to study through the book of Hebrews, though, we hope you've noticed just how often faith is referred to. Many people have held on to their faith despite trials and despite personal mistakes. This wasn't easy, but we have their lives, the Word of God, and the support of the body of Christ to help us thrive. Here at Building on the Solid Rock, we realize how hard this journey of faith is for everyone. We want you to know that we pray for you often. If you ever have a specific prayer request, please email us at info@buildingonthesolidrock.com. You can find out more about this ministry as well as listen to other messages from Pastor Troy by visiting buildingonthesolidrock.com. Be sure to subscribe to our podcast while you're there to never miss a new edition of this program. That site again is buildingonthesolidrock.com. Thanks for tuning in today. Pastor Troy will continue walking with us through Hebrews next time on Building on the Solid Rock.
Let the light of Christ shine as we grow in Him. Come have your way in us. Come.